Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 157. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And this week, we got a little post-Oscars conversation. We saw some movies as well, but some of those kind of tie into the Oscars ceremony anyways. So, the Oscars happened this last Sunday. It was, Chris, I know you didn't watch it. It's probably a good idea.
The data just get longer and longer every year.
Yeah, I think this one was supposed to go 7 to 10. Unless it was scheduled to go to 11. I don't know. Or 10:30, whatever. And I'm going by my time. But it was weird because, like, with, like, 15 minutes left, I'm like, they haven't even done the in memoriam yet. Like, what the fuck is going on here? Despite the fact that, like, it ran long, or I guess not despite it, but it was also pretty boring.
Okay.
There's one good thing I will say about the Oscars, and I don't see anyone else touch on this, so I'm gonna fucking break some ground here, and I'm telling you I'm right on this. What I loved about it is when they announced, say they're going through Best Actor, Gary Oldman, they showed a clip of Gary Oldman acting in the movie that he was nominated from. You know, they did it throughout the show.
Right.
So anytime they're doing any sort of award and they're going through a list of nominees, they showed a clip. They don't do that. And I guess maybe people took it for granted because, you know, if you watch other award shows, other award shows do that often.
Yeah, they give you like a clip of music or a clip of the video or or whatever.
The Oscars typically don't do that. And that's what I think makes them really boring to watch and really kind of opaque for people who, let's say you're watching this to figure out what movies you want to see and you haven't seen all these movies and whatnot, right? Like, and a ton of people watch it for that reason. Typically in years past, it's not going to illuminate anything because you're like, okay, I guess they were good in that movie, but I, you know.
Sorry, I didn't see it, and I don't know what it was.
So. Yeah, you're not giving, so you're not giving any sort of frame of reference. I just kind of love that they really, like, highlighted scenes and stuff from the movies here. So I did like that, but generally, it was just long and boring. It really pissed me off that they tried to do these, like, stupid fucking bits. Like, there was one bit they did where they're like, hey, and it was, like, something straight out of, like, late night, you know, talk show where it's like, hey, there's people watching an advanced screening of a movie across the street. What if we ran across the street and, like, ran into that theater and, like, gave them a big surprise and, like, any stars want to go do this? And then, like, you know, a couple stars, like, you know, a couple celebrities raise their hand and they're like, okay, we'll go. And they're like, all right, once we come back from the break, we're going to go surprise these people. So it extended between, like, over a commercial break. So it was, like, 5 minutes of setup, commercial break, then we came back and did this stupid bit that was just boring and not funny and who gives a shit. And then you got people after that, they're coming up winning, like, the biggest award they're ever going to win in their life, and they're playing them off. I'm like, dude,
yeah, you wasted cut the time. Like,
fucking bits.
Rather hear what the people that actually won have to say as opposed to, like, this nonsense.
Yeah. Other than that, on top of it, not a ton of surprises. But also, and things did not turn out the way I wanted. But I also can't be too mad about it. But we'll get into that in the individual categories. So let's just start to break it down, man.
Yeah.
Starting right off the bat with Best Picture, The Shape of Water won. It was not my favorite. You have not seen The Shape of Water.
I have not seen it yet. I believe it's coming to Redbox real soon.
Yeah.
We'll see what I think about it when it hits, but...
Yeah, look, I did not like the movie that much. I forgot what I gave it on here. I know I gave it either 3 or 4 stars. I think I probably gave it 4 stars to be nice to it. I do think, like I said, I don't think it's anywhere near as good as some of the movies he's done. Like, for instance, Pan's Labyrinth. Nowhere near that. But at the same time, I can't hate on it because I'm just like, dude, Del Toro is a good guy. He's made some great movies. It's nice to see him get some recognition finally. Again, though, I did think that the movie itself is just okay, kind of. Like, it's good. There's a lot of little things to like in it, and we'll touch on that in some of the categories. But I just think it kind of builds to a somewhat weak ending, I thought. And I thought that the horror elements are very almost non-existent in it for a guy who's like a horror director. I wouldn't call it a horror movie. You know, it's more of just like a weird romance. But like I said, I can't hate on it. Because film Twitter is so full of hate. Like, immediately once it won, everyone changed their Three Billboards is the worst ever to Shape of Water is the worst ever, and it's a safe choice. I'm like, I don't know if it's a safe choice, dude. It's a lady falling in love and fucking a fish guy, so
that's not really safe.
If you want to call it a safe choice, I mean, the only way I could see and agree with what people are saying that is because, yeah, it's kind of like just a boring movie. Like, and that's me being mean to it. Like, I do. There's things I like about it, but my personal, you know, hopes and dreams going into this was that Get Out was going to win Best Picture, because I do feel like it is an emblematic film for 2017. I think it's going to be remembered. I think it's a movie people are going to watch 20 years from now. I don't think The Shape of Water is. Being a horror fan, horror has not gotten a whole lot of love from the Oscars. The genre has won one Best Picture, and that was Silence of the Lambs in 1991. That's a long ass time, and some people would say maybe that's not horror.
I wouldn't even horror-ish. Like, there's horror elements.
Yeah, I will claim it.
It's ours.
yeah, exactly. So, Get Out, I would say. I mean, I don't know about you. I'd say
that's sure. A horror film. Yeah,
yeah, and it would have been really nice to see it win. But again, like, I think what softens the blow for me a little bit is Del Toro has done mostly horror for most of his career. So I think that's pretty cool. And there are, like, very mild horror elements in The Shape of Water. He also won Best Director. That I wasn't upset with at all for kind of the same reason.
Right.
Best Actor went to Gary Oldman for Darkest Hour. That's a movie I'm never gonna see. I've heard nothing good about it.
I hear his performance is great, but I don't really have much interest in watching a Churchill kind of a biopic. So.
Well, it's especially one I heard sucks. Like, I've not heard a single person say Darkest Hour is great. Everyone's just like, that movie sucks.
I mean, they nominated it for Best Picture, so
they did, and it's baffling because I think it got nominated because it looks like a Oscar movie, you know. But
yeah,
from what I heard, it sucks. A lot of people are happy for Oldman because, you know, he's had a long career and hasn't got the nod yet. But it's like one of those things where it's like they're giving it to him for the wrong movie.
Does have an 86%. Fresh rating and an 83% audience rating. So,
I guess I'm listening to 20% that hated it. I guess for me in this category, I wanted Daniel Kaluuya to win from Get Out, not just because he's from Get Out. I do think he is probably the best performance out of all that. I've watched Get Out 3 times now, and he's doing some shit in that performance. It's an interesting. It's like someone who's trying to keep their cool in a situation where it becomes more and more apparent to him that, like, something is off, but he doesn't know when he could, like, he doesn't feel safe ever showing that he thinks something is weird.
Right.
I just think he's doing a lot with that fucking performance, and I think because it's subtle and because it's in a horror film, it got passed over.
And I'll say, like, as somebody who's only seen Get Out on the list of best acting nominees, that's who I would have gone with too. So
yeah, It's too bad. Best actress went to Frances McDormand for Three Billboards. I think it's the obvious pick. I think she's fantastic in that movie. Just a fierce performance. I mean, it was hers to lose. I couldn't really see it. I personally kind of wanted it to go to Margot Robbie for I, Tonya, but okay. I totally get the Frances McDormand pick. I mean, you saw the movie.
I did. She's fierce in that film. I was like three quarters of the way through the film, and I texted you and was like, I don't know how this film did not win Best Picture. Like, I really don't. Like, out of the films I saw, like, it is a fantastic, like, fantastically written film, wonderfully acted. There's like a meaningful story there. Like, it's engaging. Like,
it's funny too. Like, the movie's very foul mouthed and funny. Like,
yeah, there's some good comedic bits. Yeah, I just thought it was great all around, and I was really like, I mean, I had heard some of the controversy around it, and people had, because when it first came out, like, people were like, oh my god, this is the front runner.
Yeah.
And then there was a turn on it at some point, and I don't know. I thought it was phenomenal, though.
Yeah, we discussed, when I reviewed it, we discussed the controversy a little bit. It basically boils down to, racist, brutal racist cops should not have redemptive story arcs. And,
but I mean,
go ahead. Well,
yeah, I don't think that that's anywhere. I don't think that he's redeemed by the end of that film. I think he's on his way to maybe starting to turn his life around.
Maybe, or maybe they're on their way.
Maybe not.
Way terrible. Like, really bad.
The way it ends is like they are possibly going to kill someone. Like, spoilers, but like
that doesn't deserve it,
right?
So what's the redemptive arc? I don't.
Yeah, like I mean, like that you know, he listened to his boss and friend and like was like, oh, you need to like let go of all this anger and like you'll be a better police officer. That's the only thing that he changes is like, all right, I'm shitty at my job because I'm so angry all the time.
and
he's still so angry all the time.
And I think one thing to point out here is people are pulling out such a small thread of the film. It's not what the film is really about at all. I mean, there's an element of that in there. It's the same thing that fucking people did with La La Land, where they like picked one little thing and they're like, oh, it's about the white guy trying to save jazz. I'm like, dude, have you even fucking seen the movie? It has nothing to do with that. Like, barely at all. And that's, you're taking like the wrong message out of it. And I almost say the same thing here. It's like, this movie never says he's right. He says he's wrong for doing that stuff.
Right.
And the fact that there's some moral gray area in there, I like that. Like,
well, also, like,
I don't need everything to be black and white, and well, just this is bad and this is good. And I like it being a little messy.
And why have we gotten to a point in society where we can't allow somebody to atone for their past mistakes and travesties?
This Twitter culture is
like,
the internet. There's a lot of great things about it, but one of the bad things is it's just like everything is an absolute. It's like, dude,
yeah. I don't know. Like, we have to allow for some sort of forgiveness. It doesn't alleviate any of people's bad activities in the past, but we have to allow that they can change too. Like, that they're not always going to be evil, bad people. Like,
yeah, and
otherwise we're fucking doomed.
Yeah. Like, I it really bugs me that people hate on the movie for that, as well as La La Land. It still bugs me. I'm like, that movie is just a pure joy, and you're going to sit there and hate on something that's, I think, not even there.
Well, and it's not about literally about the white guy, like holding onto the past of jazz and not trying to save it. Like,
it's like
literally destroying it.
It literally, like, people who criticize La La Land, they dismiss that scene. They're like, well, yeah, they say that at one moment, but what is it really about? And I'm like, it's about two people that fell in fucking love. and things didn't work out. It's not really about a white guy saving jazz whatsoever, but you need it to be that way to fit your fucking think piece that you're trying to write, you know?
Right. So, people.
So, bouncing off that, supporting actor went to Sam Rockwell.
Yeah.
You agree with that?
I mean,
who I wanted.
You wanted Willem Dafoe, and I haven't seen the Florida Project yet, but I don't think Woody Harrelson was in the film enough really to... for Three Billboards to really pull that. I haven't seen Shape of Water, and I heard Christopher Plummer is fantastic in All the Money in the World, but also haven't seen that. So
yeah, Willem Dafoe is fucking great in the Florida Project, and I think it's a damn shame that that's all that film got nominated for. That's why I would have liked to see him walk away with it, so that movie gets more attention. The movie's really good. I bought it on Blu-ray. I watched it again. I think it's a fucking powerhouse of a movie. Like the end, the last 10 minutes of that movie is super emotional and crazy. And he's great in it. He's just like this curmudgeonly guy trying to run a fucking hotel. But you can tell he really actually cares about people. Would have loved to see him. Like, I love Sam Rockwell, but I do think his role is more than supporting in Three Billboards. And I think I've seen him do better in other stuff. I don't know.
Sure.
Supporting actress went to Allison Janney for I, Tonya, which everyone saw that coming up from a mile away. I'm okay with it. I just, my personal preference was Laurie Metcalf for Lady Bird because she feels like a real mom in that. Allison Janney's mom is very, like, her role is very showy and over the top, and I think that's why it won.
Okay.
But Laurie Metcalf just, to me, felt like a real person, and I don't know. I would like to see her get it.
Yeah, that's another one that I just saw over the weekend.
Yeah.
And, yeah, she's fantastic in that. She's actually the best thing about that movie, I think.
Yeah, and we'll get into that because it's one of the movies you saw this week.
Yeah.
I guess I'm fine with Allison Janney winning because I think it's the only thing I, Tanya, won. Although that means Lady Bird got shut out. Original screenplay went to Get Out, which was the highlight of my fucking night. When that happened, I was like, oh shit. It's like when you see the fuck, like a football game start to change in the fourth quarter. Like, I was like, oh, the game has changed. Get Out is going to like sweep the rest of the big categories. Like, this is in the last hour, you know?
Right.
I'm like, it's going to win the rest of the big categories. It's going to win Best Picture. This is actually happening. Unfortunately, that did not play out that way. It ended up being the only category that it won in, but it was a great moment. The original screenplay is a big Oscar. It's like up there with Best Director, I would say. So you can't sell it short. Like, a horror movie won Best Original Screenplay.
Yeah.
I loved Jordan Peele's speech and, like, some of the comments he had surrounding it. It was just a great moment. It was just, like, again, it was like that. I was, the happiest you would have seen me all night. If you were sitting in my living room watching the Oscars with me, I was through the fucking roof when Get Out won.
Nice.
That was cool. So, adapted screenplay went to Call Me By Your Name, which did not surprise me because people really liked that movie. I would have loved to see it go to Logan because that's all that Logan was nominated for. Yeah, I'm sure you would probably back me up.
Yeah, I would have preferred to see Logan get that as well.
I've not seen Call Me By Your Name. I don't know if I really want to, but good for it. It won an Oscar.
Just going back to original screenplay. I actually think I would have preferred The Big Sick to win there, but
it was honestly, after I saw Three Billboards, I wanted Three Billboards to win. But when you see that category laid out, like going into the Oscars, I was like, please give it to Big Sick because that's the only category it's nominated in. I'm totally okay with the way things worked out, though, because it's the only category that Get Out won.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So I'm fine with that as well. It's just I looking at those movies, like I would probably put Get Out third. But yeah, like I mean, for it to win, like that was huge.
Just for the genre, you know, like being a horror fan, I do. I think it's a shame that Big Sick was only nominated for that. It should have been up for Best Picture. It was one of the best movies of the year, so it's fucking bullshit. But hey, at least they got the nod. Yeah.
And he was very like Kumail Nanjiani was really great with it as well. Like, I think the next day he's like, I wake up and it is my first day of being an Oscar loser.
Yeah. He had a very funny tweet that night too, where he said the Big Sick came in second, which is, I don't know what he meant by that. I don't know if he was being serious or what. I took it as like a joke about how it came in at number two on a lot of people's top 10 lists, including ours. So I think that's the joke he was going for. I don't know.
And I mean, like they don't rank them, right? Like they don't. So everyone that doesn't finish first and his second. So
yeah. And I did want to touch on there was this clip that they played during the Oscars about inclusion and you know, showing other voices in cinema and stuff. And Kumail had a very awesome like part in that. Like, so they play in this video of all these different people talking about that. And he had a moment where he's talking to the camera and he said something that got everyone to clap. Like you hear the audience went crazy because he put it so eloquently and so concisely. And he said basically the thing that I said like a week ago, where nowhere near as well as he put it. You know, I was trying to say like, hey man, you know, gay people have been watching straight love stories their whole lives, you know. What does it hurt for white guys like you and I, straight white guys like you and I, to watch, you know, stuff that's not straight white material, right?
Right. I didn't see his speech, but he had said something else similar to that outside of that. So,
okay. So during this video, this is what he said. I have the exact quote. He said, "Some of my favorite movies are movies by straight white dudes about straight white dudes. Now straight white dudes can watch movies starring me and you relate to that. It's not that hard. I've done it my whole life."
Yes.
That, I mean, he I spoke right to the heart of what I was trying to get at very clumsily last week. And it got a huge reaction from everyone there. Like he just put it so succinct. I can't say the word. He's very concisely. Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of like one of my other favorite parts of the show. But moving along, because we got a lot to cover before the end of the episode. I'm going to skip foreign language film. I don't think I saw enough to say. Animated feature went to Coco, which, again, I didn't see a lot of in that category. But, I mean, obviously it was going to Coco. I don't know if you had anything to add to that. But
No, I mean, that's where I thought it was going to go.
That's where I wanted it to go anyway.
Yeah.
And if Boss Baby won, I'd fucking... there'd be problems.
Yeah, I don't think Boss Baby actually. I don't know why that even got nominated, but
I guess some people liked it. Visual effects, Blade Runner 2049. Honestly, I wanted to go to War for Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, I think I would agree. I think Blade Runner looks great, but
it's not really about the special effects though.
Yeah, I think it got its due in the cinematography category, which is where I think it really shines.
You know what, let's just do that right here. Yeah, it won Best Cinematography as well. Roger Deakins, who has been nominated 14 times for Best Cinematography, he is the best working cinematographer in Hollywood. He's done so many gorgeous looking movies that you've seen, from Fargo to this. I was really happy about that win, not for just for Blade Runner, but for him. Like, he is, like I said, he's the best. Fuck, he's done fucking No Country for Old Men. Like, just everything he does looks fucking beautiful, even if the movie is not that great. So good for him and good for Blade Runner. Like, it's Blade Runner won two Oscars, dude. As a movie that bombed and it won two Oscars.
Yeah.
Editing went to Dunkirk, as well as I think some other technical categories like sound and shit.
Which where that movie? I mean,
that's where it belongs. Where its wins belong.
I mean, I think its sound was definitely phenomenal. I think its cinematography is also great, but I could see why Like, I mean, that was just a technical masterpiece. Like, the editing was great. I just believe it won editing for, and yeah, that's just a like that is a great technical film.
Yeah, yeah. I don't really have much to add to it. It's, I mean, the movie, I really liked it when I saw it. It's kind of faded in my mind a lot. I've not watched it again, but if I were going to give it awards for anything, I'd give it awards for how well made it was, you know. I guess I'll touch on this one. Animated short went to a short film called Dare Basketball. Mm-hmm. Kobe Bryant has an Oscar.
Yes, he does. Did you watch the short?
I did not. Why? Is it good?
It's actually really good.
Yeah. How long would you say it is?
It's 5 minutes. Okay. Like, it's really just based on a he wrote a letter to it was like a sports magazine or something. Basically detailing his retirement, and but he wrote it in like this, like, hey, like, he's writing a letter to basketball, the sport, and like what he loves about it, and it's actually really well done. I love the animation style in it. That was one that seemed to have gotten a lot of controversy though, because Kobe's kind of an ass.
I guess I've never really had an opinion on him one way or another. I liked the speech he gave when he won. So
when he was accused of a long time ago. He was on trial for rape, sexual assault back in Denver.
I thought he cheated on his wife. I thought that's
he did. He did cheat on his wife, but he ended up not being. Either it was thrown out, or he wasn't convicted, or he got it. He got out of that trial without any sort of repercussions. But people are kind of like,
he's tainted forever. Yeah,
yeah.
Oh well, whatever. I will check out that animated short though. Skipping over a couple of those kind of minor categories. Best original score: The Shape of Water. I think that score is beautiful, dude. I think that's one of the best parts of that movie. Yeah, it'll stick in your head, too, for the next day after you see it. Original song, Remember Me from Coco. That proves me wrong, because I thought the songs in Coco were one of the weaker parts. But that's fine. I liked Coco a lot. So
I wonder if it's just a matter of, like, the other songs just aren't.
Yeah, there was no, like, obvious.
Like, I remember, Remember Me.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Production design goes to Shape of Water. I also agree with that. That movie, it's a period piece, like kind of 1950s. There's so many little design details in the set and in the background. The score and the production design are the best parts of that movie. So I was totally cool with the Shape of Water winning those. Nice. I just wish Shape of Water didn't win it all. Cinematography, we already touched on Blade Runner. Costume design went to Phantom Thread, which that movie looks like it's about a guy who designs costumes, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
Makeup and hairstyling went to Darkest Hour. I don't really care, whatever.
That's one of those awards I don't give a shit about at all.
yeah, you know, maybe there might be a year I care about it based on a movie or something, but yeah. Documentary went to Icarus, which is one of the only documentaries we reviewed last year, so maybe that's part of it, is people saw it. And that about covers it. Covers it. So that's the Oscars. I do hope they stick with showing clips before things. Mm-hmm. I do hope they tighten it up. Like, dude, we don't need bits. Just tighten up, like, get rid of all that fluff and let people talk, and like really celebrate the movies, show clips from the movies and shit. The fun could be in having, like, telling jokes and shit. That whole, like, let's leave the theater and go to this theater across the street. I didn't need it.
Yeah. I've never really thought their comedic bits have been all that great, but that sounds.
You avoided it all together this year. So.
Yeah.
I can't, dude. I guess it's like me and a lot of my friends will joke. It's my Super Bowl, but it's not totally fair because I enjoy watching the Super Bowl too. But I take it like that seriously. Like, got invited to like an Oscar party this year, and I was like, no, because I like to watch it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm, right. I'm that guy. Like at the Super Bowl party, he's like staring at the fucking TV and telling people shut the fuck up because I'm trying to pay attention.
Right.
So I just like, I'm just going to stay home and watch the Oscars. At the end of the day, you know, these movies, it marks these movies in some ways. Like 30 years down the line, Best Picture winner was Shape of Water. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The other nominees kind of get forgotten. So it's just kind of interesting to see, you know, history being put into place live, you know, like, okay, well, this is going to be, this guy's a Best Director winner. This movie is a Best Picture winner. I'm really kind of surprised by The Shape of Water. But it was weird because going into the weekend, it was the big front runner that everyone was like, yeah, it's going to Shape of Water and it should. And I was like, okay. And then it won. And then everyone was like, fuck The Shape of Water. So it's typical internet. But Chris, you got to actually see a couple of, you know, I had gone ahead and I've seen almost all the Best Picture nominees and talked about them up to this point. But now you're catching up as they're coming out and yeah, becoming more available. You got to see a couple this week. What do you want to talk about first?
Well, we kind of already touched on Three Billboards. I really like that a lot. Super engaging film. I kind of really liked the acting in it. I think it was just like everybody put on a great performance. Story was engaging. I like that there's kind of like, there's no real resolution. It's just about like this woman and her
pain. I love the ending. Like, fuck it. It's been out now. We can spoil a little bit.
Yeah.
Slight spoilers. I love the ending. The ending is, she wants to go kill this guy who thinks killed her daughter. They figure out at the very end, they figure out it's not the guy. They're like, fuck it. We're going to take a road trip and go kill this guy. Or we're going to take a road trip to go kill this guy anyways. And we'll decide on the way there whether they're going to do it or not.
Yeah.
So you get to pick. It's you choose your own adventure ending. Do they kill him? Do they not? Again, they would be going to kill possibly an innocent guy, like, altogether.
Yeah, based on, like, the speculation that, like, the ex-cop thinks that, well, he might not have done anything to your daughter, but he's
done somehow something bad. Yeah, like, at some point in his life, he's done something bad, or, you know, yeah. I really dig that ending, because you get to, like, really, you get to decide, you know, based on evidence. It's not just you going, okay, I'm writing the story for myself. You're going, he's probably right. Like he probably did something. Or you go, that's crazy. Like, you know, they think you should not be doing that. And also, right, you don't know what they're going to decide on the way. I love that ending. I'm sorry, I'm not turning on that movie. There's so many things I love about it. Woody Harrelson, I liked him a lot, even though he gets snuffed out very early on. I love his death. Just leaves a note, like,
yeah.
I kind of love that. Like, don't they like read his note?
Yeah. He kind of like he
in voiceover.
Yeah, he like, voiceovers as she finds him and realizes what happened, and like as he's reading it.
Yeah, just all around. Like I mentioned before, I think that like it's not like often you think of Best Picture nominees as like these very stuffy, important in capital letters, important films, and like this kind of it's dealing with like important issues, but it's very, like I said, it's very foul mouthed. It's very funny. Like you said, it's engaging. It's not a boring, stuffy Oscar.
Yeah,
this movie's a good time.
Even though it's about like some horrific event, but you're right. It's a good time just watching these people at the top of their craft. Like, but I also love that it's just like it kind of has this message that hey, sometimes bad shit happens, and we can't solve it. Like, there's nothing we can do. I mean, you can be angry about it, but it doesn't mean that in the end you're going to get what you're looking for.
I'm just like sitting here trying to think about it. Like there's like little moments coming back to me. Like I remember there's a part where she's sitting by like the billboard she puts up, and she's like a deer, right? She's like a deer there, and she's like, you know, I forgot what she gives, like this little speech to the deer where she's just like, I can't, like this can't mean nothing, or I forgot. You remember what she was saying?
It was something like she was looking for meaning in what she
was doing. Yeah, like, don't tell me this means nothing. Like, just dealing with some real-life shit and not sugarcoating it. Like, I don't know, man. I get the film Twitter, like, take on it. Like, the simple, like, breakdown of, oh, you're honoring or you're redeeming some guy who's, like, a racist. But, again, I think it's a small part of a bigger whole, and I don't think they redeem him. I think the movie is clearly against like what he represents. They're just saying, "Hey, maybe he could be changed." And
yeah, I think there's nothing wrong with having a message that, "Hey, maybe he can change." Like, it doesn't give you that answer that it has he changed, has he not changed. Like, he could be going to commit like the worst thing he's ever done,
and just him changing and it being a positive thing does not take away from the horrible things he's done.
Right. Like he has to live with all that. And that's part of his issue. Like, throughout, like it's a major, major piece of him as a character. And I don't like this idea that, you know, people that have done despicable things in the past can't turn their lives around. I really think that, like, if that's the way we're going, if you ever fuck up and do something, well, you're fucked. Like, you might as well not try to ever be a good person again.
Yeah, you don't have to celebrate them, but, like, fuck, man, give people a chance to turn, like, to realize what they did is wrong and repent or whatever. I don't know, dude.
Because those people actually exist. Like, people that have done bad things have turned around and have made good things out of their life.
Part of the problem with American society is that we want to punish criminals instead of rehabilitate them. Other countries have this figured out. And you would think the left, with their enlightened like viewpoint on everything, would realize that. But
yeah. Prisons, you know, are big business.
It is the left who says, it is, you know, liberals who say, hey, prisons should not be about punishment. It should be about rehabilitating the person. But it's also the left that says you can't make a movie where this character exists in it.
Right. So like, okay. Which one is it?
Like, yeah. What the fuck, dude? Like, this is a very human film. Like, it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
And again, it's Frances McDormand's story more than anything. So,
yes.
I don't know. I stand by the fact that I think that's a great movie. I gave it 5 stars. What say you, Chris?
I'm with you. I think it's a 5-star film. Like, it's excellent all around.
People are saying it's this year's Crash and it's going to be forgotten and looked down upon years from now. I'm saying that might be Shape of Water, just with my hot take there.
Yeah, and that's really hard because, like, Crash...
We don't know.
And Crash won the Oscar for the picture. Like, it's... Yeah. You know what? Films that get nominated for Best Picture sometimes do fade into obscurity quicker, but like Crash 1 and faded into obscurity, that's a big, way bigger deal.
Yeah. And we don't know what history is going to do. For all we know, honestly, out of all these movies that were nominated for Best Picture, the only one I think I know for a fact will be remembered is Get Out, and it didn't win. So, that's that. Yep. The other Best Picture nominee you saw, Chris, was Lady Bird.
Lady Bird, and I'm not sure how this got nominated for Best Picture.
No,
it's not bad. It's fine. I think that's it, though. I think it's just fine. Like, it's, I think it has a great performance by Laurie Metcalf as Lady Bird's mom. But I found Saoirse Ronan, her character, Lady Bird, which is a name she gave herself. I find her to be totally obnoxious. I hated her kind of throughout the entire film. And I know that's kind of the point. It's like, she's trying to find herself, but
I don't know. There's people that I follow on Twitter who, I don't know if you know Zodiac Motherfucker or Lexi.
Yeah.
These are like two film guys that are not afraid to go against the grain on people's like thoughts on films. And they're both kind of like, especially Lex G was just like, poor white girl from like a rich ass suburb.
Yeah.
Bitching about her life. And I'm just like, yeah, I kind of saw that too when I was watching it too. Like, oh, aren't you so precious? You're like, it goes right down to the title of the film where she makes a nickname for herself. And then everyone has to call her that. Like, who does that? Like,
right. Like,
if you have a nickname, it's because everyone around you decided that's what your nickname is.
Right.
It's not because you go, I'm Lady Bird.
No, and like I mean, it starts off with like her being just like a complete jackass and diving out of the fucking car. Like, like what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, from moment one, I didn't like her as a character. I get that kids can be assholes to their parents. But like she came off as like supreme asshole. Like your parents are trying to, and I get the messaging. I really do. I get like, you know,
yeah,
that like they're trying to show that like, she just doesn't, she only thinks of herself, and, but it's like, you're along for her ride and there's no real realization until like the last 5 minutes of the movie.
That's what I was going to add is I do think that the last like 10 minutes or so are really great.
Yeah. It's like when they bring her to the airport to drop her off
from there on. I think it's
great. Yeah. It's like her and just the reaction of her mom who's angry at her and hasn't talked to her in weeks, but she just has this, like, she's just scared for her and mm-hmm. she doesn't know how to relate that to her verbally. So she just drives away, and the entire time she's crying as she's doing it. And like,
she has the breakdown when she gets away from everyone.
Yeah, else. Yeah. And then she like she tries, like, it's an airport, so you have to like drive around a big loop. And by the time she gets back, like her daughter's left, and she's missed that opportunity. But it's like you don't. It's like you feel for her, like you really feel for the mom. Yeah, but I did not feel bad for Lady Bird at all.
In fact, I felt for the mom throughout the whole movie.
Her.
I was like, you're dealing with this awful kid. And she's not awful.
She's just a kid. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But it is very precious suburban white. Like, oh my God, my life is so terrible. Oh yeah. I guess she's like kind of lower middle class or whatever. She's not like rich or whatever. She's from the other side of the tracks. Literally.
Right. But I mean, like, They have, like, they own a single home, and
yeah, they're fine. Like they're totally fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did, from the airport on, I was really like, wow, at least like Gerwig really nailed the ending on this. And endings are hard to do, you know. Like, it normally would end with her leaving on the plane, and instead we get to see her go to college, kind of realize it's not everything she thought. And it's this really, really beautiful ending where she talks about how much she loves her hometown. Like, I really dug that part. So, like, I can't come down on hating it. But my reaction to Lady Bird was the same as you, dude, where I was just like, it's fine, but does no one remember Edge of 17, like, a year ago?
Yeah, which I think
that movie was
such a better
in every way. Yeah, like,
I think Hailee Steinfeld was way more engaging as a character. You see that she understands her faults in that movie, even though like she does stupid things. Like, she kind of realizes that she's doing stupid things, and at every turn she's trying to fix them, and she keeps digging herself deeper. Whereas Lady Bird is never seeing her faults, except maybe once, I guess, when she like goes to her prom and she decides she needs to go see her best friend again.
Yeah, I just, like, I feel like I just haven't seen it, just had way more going on. Like, she had real issues to deal with.
Yeah, and, like, this one has, like, she doesn't come, like, her dad's not dead, like, her...
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be a dead parent or dead sibling or anything. It just felt like there was nothing really, really going on in Lady Bird. Just going through normal ass shit, which is fine, but I just felt like there was more going on in Agent 17. And Agent 17 had like that awesome teacher student dynamic going on.
Yeah.
With her and Woody Harrelson. It was just great. Like, super great.
There's no one really to bounce off of.
There's her mom.
Right. But like, they're always feuding, right? Like,
yeah.
And her dad is kind of an enabler of it, which I mean, that's a real parental dynamic.
That's a real thing. Yeah. Yeah.
But there was no other like personality really to kind of, you know, bounce off with her. So yeah, I think it is missing that. It's fine. It's, you know, I mean, Laurie Metcalf was great. It's a fine movie though. I am really kind of surprised that like people latched onto it as hard as they did.
There were a lot of people that it was their favorite movie of the year. In fact, our friend Matt, Mr. Fresh, I think it was his number one or number two. And when he first saw it, he was like raving about it to me. And so that made me even more excited. And again, I didn't hate it. So like, it's fine. I think I actually gave it 4 stars on here. What say you, Chris?
I'm gonna give it a 3.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I mean, I think on Letterboxd I gave it a 3.5, so it's, you know, it's in that wheelhouse for me too. And we are definitely running out of time, but I did want to touch on what the movies I saw, because sure. I will have much more for next time too. So one of the movies I got to see, a couple of horror movies. One is The Killing of a Sacred Deer, and that is the new film from the director of The Lobster. Did you ever get a chance to see The Lobster, Chris?
No, that's
the weird one. Did you see trailers? Yeah,
did you see trailers? Yeah, I know about like that. That's the one where you go to this resort, and if you don't find love within like X amount of time, you turn into an animal that you chose.
Yeah,
yeah. Weird.
I mean, think about how fucking weird that is.
Yes,
this is a horror film based on a very famous like ancient like old myth or some bullshit. Like a very old story about, well, in this case, it's about a surgeon who, he botches some operation, and this is, you find this out later on, but for the sake of explaining this, he fucks up on an operation and a guy dies, and it's because he's like an alcoholic. Now, a year or two down the line, he has befriended the son of this guy. And the son basically comes to him one day and says, you have to choose a member of your family to die, or you're all going to die slowly, like of disease and shit. Like first your limbs will go like numb, like you'll become paralyzed, and then you will starve. You won't be able to eat. You'll have no appetite. And then your eyes will start to bleed, and then you are going to die. And this is going to happen to every member of your family unless you choose someone that you will kill yourself. That's the premise. It's a neat premise, I think.
Yeah, that's fucked up for sure.
And the movie is directed with style. The score sounds like Stanley Kubrick, The Shining. Like, it sounds lifted from The Shining.
Okay.
So if you could imagine the music from that, that's what the music in The Killing of a Sacred Deer sounds like. It's, you know, it's oozing with style, and you could tell lifting from stuff that he likes. But again, this director is so weird and so off the wall that none of the characters in here ever really feel like they're human. It always feels like very art house horror. Everyone just acts very cold and detached almost all the time. Like, the movie does not feel human or even an ounce of humor or anything in it. So it's hard to like ever become invested in anything. Like, you know, word that you use describing, Three Billboards was, I think it's engaging, and this is just engaging on a premise level, but like a lot of like the performance and some of the dialogue and stuff kind of works against that. I think, I don't know if what I'm saying makes sense, but if you saw the movie, it would, you'd be like, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. It just feels like a very cold, detached movie where people don't really act like real people, right?
Right.
But it survives for me based on its premise and some of the batshit crazy stuff it's doing. Like that story, like that that premise is crazy, but on top of it, there's just like weird things going on. Like, there's one point where the dad is like desperate to get his son to explain why he's paralyzed. Like, he's wondering what happened to his son. And he's like, you know, how about this? We're going to play a game. I tell you secrets and then you tell me a secret. And so the secret he tells his son is that, like, when he was 12 years old, he started masturbating. And, but every time he came, only a little drop came out. And he's like, he thought that was weird. And he wondered if it was only him that fucking did that. And so one day, his dad, who was a very bad drunk as well, he waited for his dad to pass out drunk and he fucking jerked him off until he came. And I was just, and he's like, all right, now, son, you tell me a story. I was like, what the fuck? Dude, like, I'm going to be processed. It's going to scar me for life. And you just told your fucking son that? Like, that's the most fucked up thing I've ever heard. And that's just like one example of like, no matter what you think of this movie, I think it's worth checking out in a way, because it's like, you're going to see weird shit like that where, like, I've never seen a conversation like that in a movie. Like, what the fuck? And, you know, as a horror fan, Chris, I'd say it's worth checking out just to see what he's doing here. Like, I mean, there's some genuinely disturbing scenes, including that scene where he tells his son about jerking off his dad. Like, his, hey, you know, Grandpa, I jerked him off one day when he was asleep to see how much would come out. Like, I just, and I'm sorry to spoil a big fucked up scene from the movie, but I'm giving it 3 stars. I'd say it's worth checking out if you're a horror fan or like a big art, like, you know, you're in art house movies or, you know, super weird indie movies, but not the best thing ever.
So is that on Netflix now, or
it's on disc? Netflix, okay. Disc. So it would be at least a Redbox rental or something for you. But,
right.
I'm very interested in your thoughts on it. The other one I found less interesting. It got some kind of hype in the horror community, and it's called Tragedy Girls. Think Spring Breakers, think Heathers, but not as good.
Okay.
Not as clever as it thinks it is. It's like these two girls, these two high school girls who they want to become like super awesome killers. Great. And somehow that's going to make them famous on social media. That whole aspect of it, it thinks it's so clever, and so many reviewers, like so many critics, I think it has a pretty good Rotten Tomatoes score. And so many critics give it like credit for being like, it's up to the date, it's up to the minute commentary on social shit. I'm like, you know, just understanding the internet and having characters who know how to use Twitter and shit does not make it anything it's saying relevant or different. Right. Like again, like it's so unclear how exactly they're going to become more famous by, because like they don't want to get caught for their murders. What they want to do is cause murders in their high school, and then they have a blog online where they are going to like, they're the Tragedy Girls. They cover crazy shit going on in their town, and like they're going to get famous off of covering the murders that they commit. I'm like, what?
That's stupid.
And that's like, I mean, maybe you'll have a different take, dude, because most people like look up the Rotten Tomatoes and shit, and it's like, they're like,
yeah,
this is really smart. And I'm like, smart how, dude? It hasn't thought through anything, and it's not doing it. Like, they're not using the social media in any sort of interesting way. It's just like, oh my god, these girls are obsessed with fucking Twitter and being famous. Just like Ingrid Goes West or whatever, you know? It's just like, yeah, it's a thing that exists. I give the movie credit for having the internet exist in it, but
oh, wow,
also
81%.
Yeah, so, and I mean, my girlfriend watching it was like, same. She's like, this is like, feels like cheap and like it's like TV or something, and it's like really corny. And it's kind of all of those things. It's a horror comedy about these two girls. And like, they also have like this more traditional slasher guy that they like kidnap at the beginning of the movie, and they're like holding him hostage, like tied down to a chair and torturing him.
Mm-hmm.
But also, he's supposed to be like, like why they initially grab him is so he could teach them the ropes. It's like, okay, I don't know, dude. Like it I don't think it's anywhere near as clever as like it thinks it is, and a lot of other people think it was. It does have some decent kills in it, actually, and it does have a ton of like references to other horror movies, and I do think the two leads have some sort of charisma and chemistry, but I think the movie itself is just like very broad and goofy, and like not scary, not edgy, and I don't think it really has anything to say about social media. I don't think it's as smart as it thinks, and it's mildly entertaining. I'm gonna give it a 3 to be nice, but it's just like an okay rental at best. It's nothing I don't think anyone's gonna remember.
All right.
Again, there's some in the horror community that like are really digging this movie. I prefer a little more edge to my horror, even my horror comedies. I think you could do better than this. Fair enough. Two very weird, different 3-star horror movies to end off this episode. Before we run away, because we gotta go. Anything for next week, Chris, that you have on your docket?
So I will have seen A Wrinkle in Time by the time we talk next. Taking my kids to it this weekend. So, and maybe some other things. Evidently, there is a fourth Hatchet movie called Victor Crowley, so I might watch that.
Yep.
We'll have some stuff for me at least.
I will have A Wrinkle in Time as well as probably The Strangers. Right. Pray at Night, I think it's called, the sequel. Yeah. I think the plans are to do like a double feature, like Sunday going at 11, watch Wrinkle in Time, and then go on over to Strangers.
Yeah, maybe I'll try and get out to see. I remember the first Strangers. I don't remember loving it, but
I don't remember. I saw it. I don't remember.
I don't remember anything about it, though. I know, exactly. I've seen it, but
the trailer for this one looks good, though. So,
maybe I'll catch that as well.
They're both, I don't think, getting good reviews. So,
nope.
But I don't really care, because even with the bad reviews, I think Wrinkle in Time looks visually like fun and stuff. So, I'm hoping I'll like it. So we'll have our report on those two at the very least.
Yep.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
Movie dudes. Do 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 do.